It's part of the 21st century here that while we are doing this radio show, we can instant message to anyone, anywhere. I could send you a message. You're sending a message right now, Farai, even though we're talking live on the radio. But imagine if you're in a jury room, okay? You're in a jury room. I mean, jury duty is boring sometimes, depending on the trial you get, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine sending this message? This jury foreman is such an idiot. I can't stand the way he goes on and on and on. And send that to your friends and maybe Twitter it to 500,000 people around the world. Well, it's actually incredibly disruptive to the justice system. And here to talk about it is our friend John Schwartz, New York Times national legal correspondent, who began investigating the story of Twitter, IM, and other unauthorized digital research in the jury pool. While he was on jury duty himself. Welcome, John.
Thanks very much. Thanks for ringing the ship's bell on the way in, too. I certainly appreciate
right.
that.
Oh, yes, right. You were previously science reporter, and, of course, you remember all that very well.
I was in the jury pool in Newark, and the judge introduced the defendant in a case to us and then sent us out to lunch while he worked through the list of people who said they absolutely couldn't serve. And I was in the lunchroom, and just without thinking, I looked up the guy's name because it was very familiar to me. I knew who he was. I just couldn't quite retrieve it.
So you did your own research. I mean,
and
you're
I
a reporter.
That's right. It's what I do. It's instinctual.
Doing this causes mistrials, though, in actual practice, and you've discovered some cases.
Right, exactly. I hadn't been impaneled yet, but last week, a complex drug trial, internet pharmacy sales in Florida, was dismissed for juror misconduct. The judge found that at least 8, maybe 9 of the jurors had been doing their own research online, and you know, one after another, they called up the jurors and said, now what did you do? What did you look at? Well, I just looked at news stories on the defendant. Oh, I just looked at stories background on the lawyers, and so the case had to be dismissed because the one rule is that the facts the jury deals with are the facts that are determined for them by the judge through the interplay of the attorneys on either side. That's how you ensure fairness.
So the whole jury system is kind of this lockbox idea where everything admitted in court is the input and the output is the jury's verdict, which they're supposed to decide on using only the facts from the case in a closed room with no real access to the outside world, at least in terms of figuring out more about the case that didn't come in at trial.
Right. And you can argue. Now, you can
and
bring
that's
stuff.
That's blown out of the water by this.
Well, it can be. And you can bring the stuff that's in your head into
sure.
the jury room. You're not supposed to come in as an idiot. And you can argue whether jurors should be allowed to do their own research. But the system we've got is the system we've got. And these rules were established over hundreds of years of jurisprudence to ensure that fairness is at the table.
Okay. The reality is that some people have never felt so trapped, as John indicates, when they are in this maw of jury duty. What could you do, and what are people doing, to ensure that stuff like this doesn't happen?
Well, in a lot of courthouses, you've got to give up your electronics at the door. And so jury members, whoever, they have to turn in their phones at the beginning of the day and can pick them up at the end of the day. Or are told, just leave it at home. Don't even bring it in. And this is at least one way to make sure that, as happened last week, you don't have people trying to move for a mistrial based on the fact that one of your jurors has been Twittering and sending out these 140-letter messages.
Giving people updates on the trial.
Right, exactly.
But what if your mother is in the hospital? Or what if, you're pregnant and you want to be able to alert your husband or significant other that you're not feeling well? Or,
Those are exactly the questions that come into play. Mm-hmm. You can't, unless you're going to fully sequester every jury, you can't lock them out from the outside world.
And sequestration is it's used only in certain cases. It's very, very expensive. It's hard on the jurors, and they really only use it in the most high-profile cases.
People try to get out of jury duty now.
Right.
if every juror was going to be a prisoner in isolation, if we're going to keep every jury in Gitmo until the trial is over, good luck.
Well, with the mistrials that you've talked about and the problems in Arkansas and Florida and other states that you report on in your story, it suggests, at least to me, the idea that maybe, you know, mob defendants could actually give cell phones to prospective jurors and then text them from the defendant's table and actually create the mistrial sort of, you know, up front.
It's entirely possible. And of course, attorneys on either side are now looking, hoping, I think, in some cases, to see if people are going online, looking at their backgrounds, looking at their what they posted before the trial, looking for any crevice they can to crowbar their way out of a problem.
Well, digital technology, as usual, poses a problem for traditional institutions like the justice system, and particularly jury deliberations. A very well-told story by John Schwartz, New York Times national legal correspondent, who used to be the science correspondent. You know, you're not fooling anybody. This is a science story, okay?
you got to
work on your beat there. The editors are going to be all over you. Thanks, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.